The Old Testament reading is in Exodus 34. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May I now speak in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the house that we lived in before we moved about 16 years ago, we had a loft that, while wasn't properly converted into a room, had boards down and a Velux window and a pull-down ladder, and for a while it served as a playroom. And we decorated the ceiling with glow-in-the-dark stars. For those of you who may not have come across this sort of thing, they're essentially plastic shapes that absorb light, natural or artificial, and they then produce a warm glow when it's dark. I was reminded of those stars when I thought about this morning's readings, because today we celebrate the transfiguration of Christ, and the readings are all about glowing. First, we heard about Moses coming down from his mountaintop experience. This was actually the second time he'd been up to speak with God. And this time, as he came down, unbeknown to him, the reflective glory of the Lord shone from his face. The rest of the Israelites saw it and were afraid at first, so that he then put a veil over his face when he was speaking to them. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, speaks about us being transformed by the Spirit as we see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And then, of course, in that gospel reading, we're presented with Luke's version of the story of the Transfiguration. It's one of those Bible stories that is familiar and yet still filled with mystery. The word itself isn't easy to understand. But we hear that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. The disciples saw Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and they heard the voice of God. This is such an important event that Matthew and Mark also record it in their Gospels, and all three connect it in time to Peter's earlier profession of faith. When Jesus asked the apostles who he was, it was Peter who'd responded, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And so we see that this mountaintop experience is one of affirmation, that the man Jesus, their friend and their teacher, was indeed the Messiah. Peter had got it right. It's interesting that Luke also tells us that Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. I know that feeling well. But then we're told, since they had stayed awake, they saw Jesus' glory. Now, of course, this might have been a literal observation. I'm fairly sure that following Jesus wasn't exactly a restful occupation. But most biblical commentaries will tell you that these words are also meant as a metaphor for the disciples' spiritual state. The spiritual journey is always a battle between falling asleep and staying awake. Spiritual sleep stops us noticing the beauty and holiness of the world, other people, and indeed ourselves. Peter, John, and James experienced the glory of the transfiguration of Christ because they stayed awake. This time, unlike the time when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, they stayed awake and spent time with God listening to his voice. We don't often get a chance to go up a mountain to pray and meet God, but I'm fairly sure that God wants to reveal his glory in the everyday. So I wonder, how do we listen to God in our everyday lives? While we're at work or on the train or doing the dishes? There are glorious moments to be had if we would just listen. Back to my glow-in-the-dark stars, I had a look on Amazon to see how much they cost these days. And I was struck by one of the questions and answers that had been posted. Question: do these stars produce a warm white glow or a green one? Answer: it's a white glow, but I will let you know that unless the stars have access to sunlight most of the day, they don't really work. They worked for a little bit in the beginning, but now they're just on the wall as decoration. The longer you charge them, the longer they glow. The longer you charge them, the longer they glow. Isn't that a bit like our time with God? If we don't watch it, we can lose our glow or our shine. There's no doubt that we, like Moses, need times to recharge our souls, times of encounter with God, so that we will reflect God's light. After too long without prayer or worship, our countenance can begin to dull a bit. Writer Adam Thomas puts it this way: over time, our shine tends to fade. Every inhospitable word spoken, every neighbour mistreated and every resource hoarded, lays grime over our radiance. Every hand unextended, every gift squandered and every road not taken, leaves layers of apathetic dust. The world tells us of the radiant things out there are the things we purchase. When you wear the shiny stone or drive the shiny car, you too will shine. Too often we cede our light to the glossy waste of the world and forget that we are the ones that God made to shine. The disciples wanted to stay up that mountain with Jesus, and Peter, as ever, trying to be helpful, wanted to preserve that perfect moment. He suggested building tents or booths or dwelling places, depending on which translation you read. But we know that we can never stand still for long with Jesus. There was work to be done back down in the valley. And all three gospel writers place the healing of a young boy suffering from convulsions directly after the transfiguration. It's obviously an important link. Jesus got on with the jobs in hand, and we too are called to continue Christ's ministry of love and compassion. So as we begin the Lenten season this coming week, it's a great time to reflect on these lessons. We must all make time for quiet times, for prayer, for Bible study and worship. And there are, of course, many opportunities coming up, starting with our celebration of Pancake Day on Tuesday, and then our Ash Wednesday services. As we've seen on the news sheet, the following week we've got Lent groups starting on Thursday evenings. And in the afternoons, there'll be time and space set aside in church. So let's make it a priority to at least come along to some of these events. When we've spent time with God, it can't help but show. You might help a child or adult learn something new. You might sit at the bedside of a sick loved one. Attend the funeral of a friend who touched your life. observe the beauty of a tree. You may show concern about refugees, about poverty, about homelessness. All of these things move us, and that will show on our faces and in our actions in such a way that someone else might notice, whether they comment or not. When we've spent time with God, we reflect God's joy, God's love, and God's peace. And whether we know it or not, someone else will notice. Maybe that person will be moved by the same thing that moved us. Maybe that will in turn lead them to experience God's glory. The stories of Moses and Jesus are wonderful and amazing. But of course, they took place such a long time ago. And I think so often we read stories like this one in the Bible and we assume that if such a thing would happen to us today, it would change the world, it would shake up everything and make it all okay again. But even in the Bible, things aren't always what they seem. In this case, the stunning revelation of glory took place well out of the public eye. And even for those human eyes that did take it in, there was a mixture of confusion, sleepiness, and then we hear that they didn't speak about it. We might wonder how and why Peter, James and John kept quiet about what they'd seen and heard, but I think we have to ask ourselves, how often do we keep silent about the great and glorious truths of the gospel we celebrate in church on Sundays, but then fail to mention in the week that follows? It was only when Jesus had healed that young boy that Luke tells us that all were astounded at the greatness of God. There are times when the distance between Sunday and Monday seems to be about a million miles, and the path from the mountaintop to the everyday valley can be very difficult to find. And yet we do follow a Saviour who leads us down and out to meet those who are in need. So let's make sure in the coming weeks that we take time to be with God, to really listen to his voice, and then to let his light and love glow and shine through us to a world that, let's face it, is in desperate need of that light and love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we give you thanks and praise for the glory shown in Jesus Christ, we pray that you may strengthen your church to carry forward the work that you have started. May your church be an accepting and loving church that nurtures and encourages all in their journey of faith. Transform us with your brightness. We pray for our bishops and for all those with positions of authority. May they always be guided by your wisdom, so that we and all who confess your name may unite in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember the nations of the world, and especially those who are not at peace at this time. Guide the leaders of the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. We pray that you would keep our ears open to the cry of the poor and the oppressed. And we ask your blessings on all who care for the world's poor, for refugees and war-torn peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our own community, for our families and friends. And especially this week, we pray for the residents of Eskdale. We give thanks for all who have shared their faith with us. In our turn, may we also bear fruit, bringing others to know your love and care. Speak to us through the Holy Spirit as you spoke through the prophets and apostles. Giving thanks for the good times, we also remember those who are facing hardships. We remember the sick and those facing death. We pray for those who are tending them. We pray for those who are anxious about loved ones, for those waiting test results. And we bring before you those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we give you thanks that through the transforming death and resurrection of Jesus, you have opened for us the way to life eternal. We pray for all who have served you faithfully here on earth and are now in the fullness of your kingdom. May those who are departed from us be at peace with you. And this morning we remember especially Bill Chippington and those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lillian Davis, Lillian Bain, George Chambers, Gertrude and Thomas Kent. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And so in these final moments of prayer, we offer you ourselves this day for the work you want accomplished, for the people you want us to meet, for the word you want to be uttered, for the silence you want to be kept, for the places you want us to enter, for the new ways you want pioneered. Go with us along the way, Lord, and enable us to realise your presence and glory at all times and in all places. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.